As we've looked at Daniel's intercessory prayer in Daniel 9, we have given us several auxiliary messages to help us experience what we see him doing there in Daniel chapter 9. This is the last one of those auxiliary messages, and then we'll have two messages on the focus of Thanksgiving being the season, and then we will return and finish chapter 9, and then we'll finish the rest of Daniel 10, 11, and 12 in the months ahead. But today, knowing when and why to persevere in prayer. A somewhat familiar story in the life of George Mueller was he had prayed for two men for over 50 years for their conversion. And he was asked, "Do you think God's going to convert those men?" He said, "I sure do." He says, "God would not have kept them on my heart for 50 years if he didn't plan to do it." So one was saved right before his death and one shortly after his death. There was a college president that had this saying, "It's always too soon to quit." Well, I would say if you're praying rightly, it's always too soon to quit. Knowing when and why to persevere. There, Scripture gives a number of examples. One that's read, I'm going to be looking at today. Others I could, but I won't. Abraham's intercession for Sodom. There in Genesis 18, verses 22 to 33, he keeps arguing with God. You certainly see Jacob's perseverance in prayer in Genesis 32. He's praying for God's blessing and protection from Esau. And so those could certainly be explored. But here in Matthew 15, this is a very interesting one. As was read there beautifully, it says, "The Canaanite woman from the region came up and said, 'Have mercy on me, son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed.'" Now, as you look at the passage, maybe you've grown familiar with it, but certainly a first step, Jesus' response doesn't seem Christ-like, although it's Christ. He did not answer her a word. And then his followers were even said, "Send her away because she keeps shouting at us." But he answered and said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So, and she came and began to bow down before him. "Lord, help me." You see her perseverance even after being ignored and sort of been treated very like she's a bother by his followers. And then, "Lord, help me." Now, it seems like he's sort of hard on her. I mean, at face value. It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she says, "Yes, Lord. But even the dogs feed on the crumbs which are from the master's table." And then we begin to see the Lord's intention. Jesus said to her, "O woman, your faith is great, and it shall be done for you as you wish." Did she get what she was after? Yes. But she also got more than she knew how to ask for. She got one of the four recorded compliments of Jesus that I think transformed her life. The greatest perception of how a person views themselves is what you think the perception of whoever the most important person in your life is, your perception of what they think of you. Now, when Jesus becomes the most important person in your life, his perception of you, he gave her something that would not just get her out of this jam, but he transformed her life. You're a woman of faith. And I believe he gave her something that could get her out of any jam, as well as healed her daughter. So sometimes God allows us to persevere in order to give us more than we know how to ask for. Don't mistake the silence of God with the indifference of God. He was not indifferent, but he is. She didn't have to overcome God's reluctance, but she basically pursued to lay hold of his willingness. just a couple of Matthew 20. Just turn over a few chapters there in verses 30 to 44, those last verses of Matthew chapter 20. Two blind men sitting by the road hearing that Jesus was passing by cried out, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." The crowd sternly told them to be quiet, but they cried all the more. They wasn't going to be stopped. "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." And Jesus stopped and called, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said, "Lord, we want our eyes to be opened." And moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sights and followed him. Sometimes we're too easily stopped. The church was born in persistent prayer. Acts chapter 1. Previously, when the Lord took his three closest companions and asked them to join him in there in that prayer session in Gethsemane, they fell asleep. And there was great consequences. They denied the Lord. And they were, fear struck them. But they were restored. And now, the next time Jesus called them to a prayer meeting, they're there in Acts chapter 1, and they're not asleep. And there's where what? The church is born there on the day of Pentecost. So God encourages us to persevere. The passage that you see there that was read, and I'll give you a few others, encouragements to persevere. Psalm 123:2, that was read earlier. As the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he's gracious to us. I will turn, let me encourage you. I sent out this prayer email to a number of people. It's called the Great American Prayer Event. It's this Monday night happening across our land. Their encouragement is for everybody from 6 to 7 in their time zone to pray for the revival of our country. Obviously, in this critical time, the day before election, but it's just for our nation. That event, and I'll look at these other passages, that also God's encouragement to persevere, but that event was, I was notified of it. It's spearheaded by a man named Hank Irwin. Hank Irwin, I don't necessarily know you know that name, but his two sons are the Irwin brothers who put out a number of Christian movies that are very good. If you ever happen to see An October Baby was one that was very good. They put out quite a few, but then also Woodlawn, that's a story. And I don't know if you've seen Woodlawn. That's one of my favorite movies. It's a story of a sports evangelist that came to a high school. Woodlawn is a school in Birmingham, Alabama. And I was raised in Montgomery, Alabama, our high school. Not named that now, but it was called Robert E. Lee High School. They've changed the name of it. But Robert E. Lee High School played Woodlawn. So it's there in the 70s, it was the racial crisis. And this sports evangelist comes, wants to speak to the football team, and he's just ignored by the coach. And then he finally, we'll go ahead and go and speak to him. And God really genuinely brings a revival to the school. That's very, very special. Those things were generally happening in the 70s. But that sports evangelist is, the Irwin brothers produced that film, but the sports evangelist is Hank Irwin. They're basically doing a movie about their father. And he was a fireball. I went to seminary with him. He was there for a year in Dallas when I was there. And he was a street preacher and a fireball. He was even a state legislature in Alabama. But anyhow, he's the one who spearheaded this great American prayer event. So all across our land, people are going to be crying to God. If there's ever a time to cry to God, I would say it's today. I know no matter what happens, God will be God. God is in control. I have fully understand that. But you don't let that bring you into a sort of a fatalism that just freezes you. I think that's the wrong response. Certainly we have a confidence in God, but we do cry to him. And I want his highest purpose to be, it was a great, great, great mercy of God for him bringing this nation into existence. And the fact that we've had all these years of religious freedom,
Boy, I think we, and I so appreciate those of you. And I go to a persecuted prayer meeting on Fridays, and know God's doing a work, and we pray for them. But I think the persecuted church would say, don't throw your religious liberty away. Yes, God can work no matter what, but I don't think it's something to throw away. So pray, in a sense. I like Isaiah 62, 6 and 7. See, this is God's encouragement to persevere. Isaiah 62, 6. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I've appointed watchmen. All day and all night, they will never keep silent, and I appreciate this. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourself. Give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. He's saying, look, keep crying to God for him to accomplish his purposes. And so I pray, we do not deserve it. We are under judgment. That's no question as a nation. We've shook our fist at God. We've not only allowed the wrong thing, we've endorsed the wrong thing sometimes as a, you know, that's exactly what Romans 1 says, you know. Not only do the wrong things, but they give hearty approval to those who do. And we've done that as a nation in regard to, so even as a government. But I like Habakkuk 3:2. In wrath, remember mercy. In wrath, remember mercy. And so our Lord, persistent prayer is not our idea, okay, but it's God's idea. Look into these, Jesus continually talked about that. I'll give you familiar passages. In Matthew 7 through 11. Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. See, this is God's encouragement. Knock and it'll be open to you. Everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. See him who knocks it'll be open. And he brings it back to the character of God. What man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your fathers in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? So I've just looked. God is looking for people to, I like what, you know, what happened there in Ezekiel's day. He says in Ezekiel 22:30, he's looking for a man to stand in the gap and to build a wall. He tells early in the chapter, he couldn't find somebody. Building a wall is like building a wall to protect from God's coming judgment. So he's looking for people that will stand in the gap and cry to him for his mercy. Two other familiar passages that our Lord talked. Luke 11, verses 5 to 13. Luke 11, verses 5 to 13. He says, suppose one of you has a friend, Luke 11, 5, and goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Friend of mine has come from a journey and have nothing to set before him. From inside he answers and says, don't bother me. The door has already been shut. My children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he's his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. See, God is unlike this, what? This individual that doesn't want to be bothered. God's inviting us, but he uses that to plea. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be open. Everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. Him who knocks will be open. And once again, brings it back to the character of God. One of your fathers asked my son for a fish, he won't give him a snake, will he? If he's asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? See, God is unlike. See, there's no parent, if a child, oh, daddy, mommy, I'm so hungry. Just please give me a peanut butter jelly sandwich. Oh, no, chew on a brick over there. That would be unthinkable. And sometimes we need to see how kind, God's far more kind and more gracious than us. You see then Luke 18 as well, Luke 18, 1 to 8. He was telling them a parable to show at all times they ought to pray, not lose heart. Once again, in a certain city, there was a judge who did not fear God, Luke 18, 2, did not respect man. There was a widow that kept coming to him, give me legal protection for my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterwards he said to himself, even though I don't fear God, don't respect man, because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she'll wear me out. Hear what the unrighteous judge said. We speak to a merciful, gracious judge. How will God not bring about justice for his elect? who cry to him day and night, and will he delay long after them? I tell you, he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Well, God's encouragement to persevere. Now, you say, why does God sometimes ordain persevering prayer as his method of working? Obviously, sometimes you can pray for something once and it's answered. And so that's, but sometimes God does will persevering prayer. And I'll say several reasons, I believe. One is to purify our desire, to purify our desire. Sometimes we want the right thing, maybe for the wrong reasons. And a person said, Lord, I really want this ministry to be successful. And is it to honor God and benefit others or just to make me appear successful? So, I mean, sometimes we can. I mean, if anything pure ever comes out of any of us, God did it. But he uses that perseverance to give us, you know, sometimes a parent, God, I want this child to behave. Is it to honor God and the well-being of the child, or is it to make me look like a good parent? So God can use persevering prayer to purify our desires, to purify our desires. Sometimes he uses persevering prayer to prepare us for the answer. A premature answer sometimes may cause us to glory in the gift and not the giver. As we persevere, our hearts can be prepared to enjoy the gift in a way that enhances our fellowship with God the giver. So it can be used to prepare us for the answer. It can be used to purify our desires. Persevering prayer also can be used to develop our life, to develop our life, to develop our life. In other words, as we pray, God does a work in us. He gets us those things we talked about when we talked about waiting on God. He gets us what? More clearly under his loving authority, which is the place of blessing. He teaches us also to learn more clearly dependence upon his Holy Spirit. As he weans us away from that self-confidence and depends upon the Spirit. He gets us walking in the light so we make sure we're not covering any sin. He gets us more motivated by love. And truly living for his glory. So he uses those to purify our desires, to prepare us for the answer, to develop our life. Sometimes God, this is very clearly scriptural, is that sometimes he uses persevering prayer. God uses it in regard to the invisible war going on in the angelic realm. We're not told all the details of that angelic war, but we're told the fact of it there in Daniel 10. I wanted to come, but there was a battle or whatever, and there's a demonic force around in what every nation. And so according to Daniel 10, 12 and 13. And most of all, I think God uses to just bless us with a more intimate relationship with God, finding a true delight in him, finding a true delight in him. Now, so there are reasons that God does ordain, good reasons. Everything he does is out of his goodness. Now, when do you persevere? And I would say these are when to persevere. I would say first, when you desire God more than you desire the answer. When you, you know, I like that Psalm 123:2 that was read. When you see yourself as his servant, not him as your servant. A godly perseverance is different than just a fleshy stubbornness, that I'm going to get my way. One focuses on getting our will done in heaven, and the other focuses on getting God's will done on earth. You see, when you desire God more than the answer. Now, because quite frankly, see, God is better than you are. He's better than I am. His ways are better than us. That's why the Apostle Paul knew not to keep persevering when he asked for that thorn in the flesh to be removed. It was very painful, and he wanted it, but he saw that God wanted to give him something better. God wanted to give him that, God was going to leave that thorn in the flesh there, but he was going to give him a greater grace, and he could be a more effective servant of God, and his power could be made perfect in his weakness. So when you desire God more than the answer. Secondly, you persevere. When do you persevere? When you're standing on God's word, you're praying scripture. Now, here's always a great place to start. You know, what God says, what? Love is always the most important thing, whatever, you know, 1 Corinthians 13. So a good place to start, I like that scriptural prayer, Philippians 1, 9 to 11. We have those references in our wedding rings. I pray that your love would abound more and more in knowledge and discernment. You can always say, God, give me the grace in this situation to be stand before you on judgment day and be blameless in love. You can always believe God for that. Now, the response to that is beyond your control. But, Lord, give me all the grace to fulfill my vows. You know that's the will of God. Stand on that. Persevere in that. God will give you all the grace you need to do that. So, when you're standing on God's word. Also, I would say the third is when you're willing to wait on God's timing for the answer. When you're willing to wait on God's timing for the answer. Submit it to God. Here's the encouraging thing. God never forgets your prayer. I love that last phrase in Solomon's long prayer in 1 Kings 8. Verses 59 and 60. He gives that long prayer and he says, may these words of mine be near to you day and night that you may answer them as each day requires. So you lay up a prayer before God. You might forget it. He doesn't forget it. He doesn't forget it. And so every day I lay up things there before God and they're in good shape when they're laid up before him. And I know prayers I've laid up before them that I've forgotten and it'll be years later God answers. So, when you're willing to wait on God's timing for the answer. Well, in knowing when and why to persevere, I want to give you, I like this advice that came from a dear godly man. He says, pray until you pray. He says that's Puritan advice. It does not simply mean that persistence should mark much of our praying, though admittedly that's a point the scripture repeatedly makes. What it meant is that Christians should pray long enough and honestly enough to get past the feelings of formalism and unreality that tends not a little praying. Especially is prone to such feelings when we pray for only a few minutes. If we pray until we pray, we eventually come to delight in God's presence, to rest in his love, to cherish his will. Pray until you pray. And so that's another reason God tells us to persevere. Pray until you pray. Now, as you persevere, keep in mind this. God sometimes may answer that prayer in such a totally different way, but still answer it. This was a great encouragement to me. And I conclude with this. This individual here tells of three ministers, gives them their names. They prayed in the 1950s, for God to revive the Church of Scotland and raise up ministers. After 4 years of fervent joint intercession, they felt released from that burden, but they saw very little evidence of genuine revival. 25 years later, these same ministers hosted a conference attended by 200 pastors. One of the three men who had prayed for revival asked for a show of hands by those who had been converted during those initial years when he and his partners had prayed. Well, a few people raised their hands. Then he asked, of the remaining ministers, how many of them had been born during those 4 years? Most of the others now raised their hands. God had answered prayer of the original three ministers in a way they could not have expected. When we ask anything according to his will, he answers in his own unique way, and own unique time. So it's not in vain. Keep crying to God as he wants us to cry to God. And I do think, I plead with you and I plead with myself too. I think it's a very, very important time to be praying in a sense for our
our nation and for this country. And maybe you'd want to join that movement, that great, you can look at it, Great America Prayer Movement. It's called GAP, and it's like a dash event. I think that's the website. But all across the land, people will be crying out to God in this very, very important time. And so, Father, thank you for your great gift of, and we ask, you're the God who gives encouragement and endurance. God, encourage us to keep crying out to you, dear Father. I pray that for each one here. Maybe many of them have persistent prayers that we're crying out to you for. We pray, God, you'd mightily come to our aid when we're tempted to lose heart. And we pray this in your wonderful name. Guide and direct the remainder of our morning together. For Jesus' sake, amen.